Hey, Gail, would you mind relating what you text to me and Ernest? Do you feel like you can do that? Get her a mic or something so it can go on the thing there.
Want me to start?
Just whatever way you want to put it.
Wednesday night after the service, I received some reproof and correction. And it linked to understanding that as long as you have pride, you will never have repentance. And the deception was that pride is very deceptive. Sometimes it comes in worldly sorrow. Sometimes it comes in feeling sorry for yourself. Sometimes it comes in you really personalizing the word to the point where you are really super offended. And it was cool on Wednesday night because I didn't walk away offended. When the Lord started showing me all this stuff, I really walked away corrected. I saw it as something that in my thoughts needed to be revealed. And I thought about it for a while, and then I text PK and Ernest and told them basically what I'm sharing right now. But it was part of the Lord explaining that not only do I need to forgive myself, which is the major part of it, is I need to stop being offended and forgiving others, because this is a spiritual work of God. This is nothing that I or any person in this room can do.
That's true. So here's the question, guys. You heard what Gail said, and I want some of you to answer, all of you to answer, if you have a answer to this. How do you repent from that? What is your thought?
Like we talked about on Monday and Wednesday, you have to bring forth fruit, meat for repentance. It's just not something that if you feel heavy and you want to change your thoughts, but you have to bring forth fruit that's worthy of repentance to actually be granted repentance in order to repent and to be baptized.
That's true, Ernest. Anybody else? What do you think? What do you think about repentance? When things are wrong in you and you know they're wrong, how do you repent? You've heard some things already, but how would you do that?
I'll say how I've been learning recently. And as the disciples, we're sent to learn. So if you go into it with the mindset of that, of learning, then number one, it's not sin. And number two, you won't let guilt and condemnation work. And you'll know that when you go in it with that mindset that you are a son of God and that you're going to be corrected, and that the Lord, just like Peter, he was corrected many times, and he became the chief apostle because he followed the Lord and he continued. He didn't let guilt and condemnation work. And it's every time that the Lord brought something that was wrong in his life, if you want to call it that way. So I would say that repentance was working each one of those times.
Anybody else? What do you think? I'll give you a minute here. Nobody else? I'm going to ask another question. Does God repent? You say yes. Who else? Does God repent? What would God have to repent of? I'm trying to stir your mind here for a minute. You're right. God repents. But why? What's different about it? It's understood when the Lord does it. Yeah, that's true, Ernest. That's part of it, too.
What I was thinking was, God, we think to get it when we initially look at it, and God looks at it as giving it.
That's true, too, Gail, to a certain extent. That's true. Here's why we're teaching this today. Hi, baby girl. That's why we're teaching. This is going to be very important today. When God repents, listen to this scripture. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Very, very good, succinct scriptures, huh? So, obviously, the repentance of God is different than the repentance of man. Okay? Now, I want you to think about this. Let me go to a scripture. This, I'm reading this from Jeremiah, but just you'll get the gist of it. If so be they will hearken and turn every man from his evil way, that I may repent me of the evil which I purpose to do unto them because of the evil of their doings. So, does God send evil for judgment? And can he repent or have compassion and mercy not to do that if someone brings forth, or a nation or a man or spirit in man brings forth fruit meet for repentance? In other words, they've had a change of thought and mind, right? And God knows this, right? So can he repent of the judgment that he had already given toward them because he sees the change of the heart and the mind? Can he do that? That's the repentance of God. Now, our repentance, what is ours? Mm-hmm. Okay, glad to receive it. That is part of it. Yeah, understand truth and reject the lie. There are people among us that can understand truth and reject a lie, but that still doesn't grant them repentance. They can understand it. How do I know that? Haven't we had people here that could bring back word with understanding, yet they're not among us now because they couldn't repent? You understand what I'm saying?
There's a difference between accepting, just saying it, and then accepting it. You
have to. That's true, John.
Internalize that you've made a wrong assessment.
You're dancing all around what I want. This is very important. That is true. This is... It's very important to understand how repentance works, okay? Now, here's where our problem comes in. I'll take Judas for an example. After the betrayal of Jesus, he came to himself in a way and said, you know what? I betrayed innocent blood. Didn't he say that? He came to the understanding. He understood that he had betrayed innocent blood, that what he had done was against innocence. There was no sin in the person he betrayed. Yet in his own mind, he had made a thought to justify why he betrayed the Lord. You see where I'm going with this? So we can justify that, why we do a certain thing, okay? So he comes to himself and he says, gosh, I have betrayed innocent blood. But then he made a mistake. He started trying to figure out a way to repent. Isn't that what his mistake was? As a man, he tried to figure out a way to repent. And he was very sorrowful for what he had done. Didn't he? There was another man kind of like that, Esau. You know, they wept bitterly, the whole thing. I've betrayed innocent blood. I sold my birthright, whatever it may have been. And they seek it with tears. And they seek it with, really, it's a condemnation or a guilt of what I've done, a sorrow that's working in them. And they think that that's going to change what they did. But what if I was to tell you none of that works? Because Judas repented of himself. So what he thought repentance was, it wasn't. The Bible's very particular in saying that his repentance was of himself. Wow. So can you repent of yourself and it not be the repentance of God? And it's manifested usually by a sorrow, a guilt, whatever. You know, you feel bad. You might shed tears. You might cry. You might lay at the altar for 5 hours and say, God, forgive me, God, forgive me, and whatever. But what if I was to tell you all of that is not repentance? Not one bit of it. This is very powerful, what I'm telling you today, because there are times that we feel like we've done something that we shouldn't have done, and we try to do a repentance, change our own thought in such a way that it'll be permanently changed. What if I was to tell you, you can never do that? You can't do that. This is powerful. This is powerful. You can't do it. You may try. You may seek it with tears. Why do you think those things are written in the Bible about Esau and Judas? Why didn't God forgive them for that? Didn't he accept their repentance or whatever? Man, I would have. That's why you're not God. Go ahead, Ernest. Yes. It rules. That's true. Absolutely true. Because we have examples of it, don't we? So this is the key. Repentance that we think we can do, just start getting it out of your mind. You can't do it. Yes, you can have a change of mind and thought, but that has to be permanent, and that is done by the Spirit. That has to be done by the Spirit to be permanent. Have you ever said, I'm sorry for doing something, and found yourself doing it again? Yeah, see, that's how it works, isn't it? You said you're sorry. You may have shed tears about how sorry you were, but you find yourself doing it again. Very, very powerful. So God does repent, but his repentance is from him making a judgment as a righteous God and saying, I'm going to send a judgment. I'm going to send evil to you even if I have to. But you've shown me some fruit meet for repentance, so I'll repent of what I said I was going to do. Now, is that God changing his mind, or is that God knowing by prophecy that they would change theirs? That they would change theirs. Don't you know God knows all things? When he sent Jonah to Nineveh, do you think he knew that Nineveh was going to go down in sackcloth and ashes and repent? Yes, he did. But he had already pronounced the judgment through the prophet that he was going to destroy Nineveh. Didn't he say that? And that's what Jonah was supposed to preach. But when he preached it, God said, if they repent, and it made Jonah mad. Hey, this is funny. If people repent and God accepts their repentance, what are you doing getting mad? What are you doing getting mad? That may turn out to be your what? Your fellow brother, huh? If it goes all the way through the way God would like for it to go all the way through, could that turn out to be your brother? Oh, most assuredly. So some people, we say, gosh, why would God accept them? They've done so much stuff, and they did some stuff to me. I don't know whether I was da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, see, that's why you're not God. That's why you don't do the right judgments. God's trying to teach us that, isn't he? Aren't we learning, like you said? Aren't we being taught? So God is not a man that he should repent as men repent. But he is a God that will say, you know, I will, because they brought fruits of repentance, hold up my judgment by mercy and love and allow them an opportunity to do what, Gail? To carry it all the way out, huh? So there are things that we realize in us, and God has shown you these things. He may have shown you a pride, an offense, or whatever, and we immediately start thinking in our mind, how am I going to repent from that? How am I going to change that? See? And then if we go into a work about doing that, we're doomed to failure. Because really, it has to come from God, right? Let me read you another scripture. This is very powerful, guys. I'm trying to see if I could pick one that would. I'll say this. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I want you to think about that for a second. So you cannot get your kingdom unless you what? Unless there's a repentance. Isn't that what he was really saying, John the Baptist out there? He was saying, he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There is a kingdom for you waiting for you if you can allow God to work repentance in you. There's another scripture that talks about, maybe one of you guys can find it. It says that when John started preaching, he preached repentance to Israel. Very important that he says that. And then in another place it says repentance was preached to Israel. Why? Why wasn't it preached to anybody else at that time? Go ahead. That's true. It has to come to the Jew first. Go ahead. The order of God, you could say that because aren't they God's people? So it had to be to the Jew first, right? But what did we know about some Jews that as this came to them, did they accept it? They didn't, did they? And so what did God say from prophecy thousands of years back? What did he say he was going to do? He was going to go to who? Gentiles. Now, here's something that's very important. In the book of Acts, it says this. Peter marvels because he sees that God has granted repentance unto the Gentiles. They thought that was just a Jewish thing because they were God's people. Oh, repentance. We're the ones that can receive repentance from God. But then they saw that God gave it to the Gentiles also. Is this the beginning of this jealousy that God's fermenting here? He's trying to make come forth in the mind of the Jew. Is this the beginning of it? So how in the world can a Gentile thought repent and get repentance from God? You see how they're thinking? Now, let's take it back to something that you do know. God had to show Peter up on the housetop, waiting for a meal, let down the sheet by the four corners, all the four-footed beasts and creeping things and all that stuff that was in it, and he told Peter to do what? Rise, slay, and eat. And what did Peter say? Because he said nothing what? Or common has come into my mouth, he hasn't received it, okay? What he's saying is that he's never received a Gentile thought, and he's not going to allow himself to do it anytime. And here's the thing that's powerful. He says, even if you tell me, Lord. Isn't that what he was saying? Because this is what he says. Go back and read. He said, not so, Lord. Whoa. He's telling God, not so. Can you see how bold you can get in what you believe to the point that you tell God, not so, Lord? And that's not the only time he ever told Jesus that, was it? When was another time he told him, not so? Yeah, that's part. And what about when he's standing there and. Right. But what had he just said just a few verses before that? What did he say just before that? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then a couple of verses later, where's that mind gone? There you go. Because wasn't it Satan? Wasn't it? So can that show you how quick you can go to a satanic thought when you think you have gotten the revelation and have repented to understand? You see where I'm going? Because it's of man and not of God. Shows you how quick it can happen. What did she say? What was it that she's dealing with? What was it that God is showing her right now? You see where this goes? So a lot of us may think, I've got a handle on pride now. As soon as you thought that, you need to repent. I'm sorry. Repentance needs to come to you. You see where I'm going with this? Because that's a prideful thought. Whoa. Did you get what I just said? That's very powerful. So there are things that we need to understand concerning repentance, huh? Repentance is what gets you into the kingdom. You will not receive your kingdom without repentance. Wow. That's true, isn't it? And you have to bring forth fruit, meat for repentance. So what's the fruit that you bring forth? We've talked about it. What is it? What do you bring forth so that you can have God grant you repentance? What is it? Well, that's true too. That's true. That's true. How do we say it? What is it that we have to get? And if you say wisdom, are you getting understanding? If you say understanding, are you getting wisdom? Does it have to be both? Has to be. Has to be. Has to be the wisdom and understanding of God, because that's the tree of life in the midst of the garden, isn't it? Is that the woman that reproduces that's in the midst of the garden? Is it the, also the Jesus that is that tree in the midst of the garden? See, Adam is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But what is that other tree? That's Christ, isn't it? That's the godly woman. Catch where I'm going with this, guys. I'm separating some things for you today because I want you to think about it. So every time you think you can repent on your own, can you? Now, here's the other thing. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So can your sins be remitted without repentance? No, they cannot. Can you be baptized into the body of the apostle without repentance? So repentance must be very, very important. Very important. In fact, it's the linchpin that God uses for everything else to follow. Wow. Yeah, it is a calling, but it's a call unto repentance. See, this is the key. We've been teaching on repentance a few times now, haven't we? And we're getting something different each time. We're getting more to it. This is what God wants us to understand. There are thoughts still in us that there's a power of repentance within us. When the power of repentance is in God, and you have to bring forth fruit meet for repentance for that to be released unto you. Does that make sense? To be granted unto you. Okay? Let me read you another scripture. If I can remember where it's at here. This is something here. Or despiseth thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering? Now, what does it say right off the bat? What is it that God's exercising toward us? Goodness, forbearance, and longsuffering. That means God has some patience, doesn't he? Because sometimes he has to wait on us a long time before there's any fruit that he can grant repentance to you about. Does that make sense? Oh, he has love, goodness, long-suffering, forbearance. What does it mean to forbear? You kind of hold on. You got to bear that burden of it until something changes, huh? God is good at that. Because if he wasn't, none of you would be sitting here, and I wouldn't be here either. If it wasn't for the long-suffering and forbearance and goodness of God, we would not be here. His patience is... Wow. We should have been cut off a long time ago if a man had done it. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? So do you have to be led to it? Have you ever thought of it that way? You have to be led into repentance. Wow. You have to be led into it. Those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are, that's part of the leading. If you're going to become a son of God, don't you have to be led into the repentance? Because God can't make you and bring you back to sonship until repentance has come forth. You have to know what you're repenting of and why you're here. That's important to God. It's just like when you discipline a child. If you just walk up to him and start beating him, he's going to say, what are you beating me for? You have to know why. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? So why are you getting punished? Or why have you been sent to this place? And I noticed that I used the term sent, huh? Yes, there was a fall, but what if the purpose of God through his long-suffering and forbearance and mercy was to give you the ability to learn of him so that you will never do that again and return back? So did he send you here, but he used your fall to do it? Is that the mercy of God? Or is that the goodness and long-suffering forbearance of God? It definitely is. the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. So he puts you in a place where you can learn the things that you need to learn so that the thought can change. Because that's what repentance is. It's a change of thought. It's a change of design and goal. Everything changes from what you want, what you've designed, to what God wants and what he's designed. Isn't that true? Why did I use the word design? Prophecy. Didn't he do it from the beginning? Did he design this whole thing? Then you have to finish the design and become what he's made you to be. He designed you to be a son of God. He designed you to have prophecy in you. He designed you to be an apostle. He designed you to be an angel. That design has to be completed. He's the architect. He's the draftsman. But you have to complete it and become what he said that he's designed you to be. Isn't that true? So the plan of God is repentance first. What did Peter say in Acts 2:38? Repent and be. Remember, they asked him. They said they saw what had happened to him, right? And the men are looking around, and they were pricked in their heart. And they said, well, wasn't Paul pricked when he went on the way to Damascus, too? Use that term again, didn't it? It means something stuck you and brought your attention forward, and you said, wait a minute, something's going on here. I need to be part of this. Isn't that true? We say our conscience was pricked. What I say is the spirit of man was pricked because he knows he's not the way he should be with God. So God takes that spiritual thing and pricks you. And you come to the place where you say, you know what? I am lacking. I need something. Isn't that true? You know you lack God. So all of a sudden now you have a desire to want to know God. Did God place that in you think? Oh, most assuredly. You said a call a little while ago. Many are called, but few are chosen. There are people that have had a call on their life and dropped the call. Isn't that true? They hung up on God. That's what they did. God called. Yeah. I don't want that. Hang up. And we've seen it, haven't we? God calls. You don't answer the call. It's not that he didn't call. It's that you didn't respond. That's the difference, isn't it? You didn't respond. In Revelation, it talks about it in manifestation. It says you are called, chosen, and faithful. God is looking at you through prophecy because that's what you're going to be in prophecy. You'll be called, you'll be chosen of God, you'll be faithful all the way to the end. So he can say that. That's why it's in the book of Revelation and not somewhere else. It's telling you what your end is going to be because you were able to repent and allow God to lead you in that repentance so that you know why you're here, why you fell, why you were sent back, and how to overcome the things that are doing what to you? Distracting you and holding you up. Is that true? So I said something the other night on the Thursday night lesson. I was on Thursday night, and I said this. Hebrews 6. It says, laying again the foundation of repentance? Why would you have to do that again? You see where I'm going with this? So what happens is this. What if you never did complete the repentance that you initially learned? And you're still holding on to dead things that are going to cause you a lot of distraction in hell. You're still holding on to it. Are there some dead things still floating around in there, in that waters, under that spirit, in that sea in you? Are there a lot of dead things? You may have gotten rid of a lot of them, but there's a few hanging around, Ernest. You understand what I'm saying? You think you fully repented, and now here we go again. Isn't that the thought of man about what he thinks repentance is? Oh, I'm over that. That's like that person said, I'm done with pride. Really? Really? I'm done with lying. Are you? You just lied because you're not done with it yet. But here's the thing. I'm trying to show you something here. Man's repentance or his thought of it is not what God ordered for repentance. God has to grant you repentance based on the fruit that you bring forth meet for repentance. So is that wisdom and understanding? By the wisdom and understanding, remember the grounds? Right? The grounds? God doesn't want you to fix them. He wants you to observe and learn from them so that the good ground can bring forth 30, 60, 100 fold. Because you can't fix them anyway. You let God fix them. But it's going to be fixed by the woman that's in that earth that's going to reproduce the 30, 60, 100 fold. And what is she going to use to change that, to fix it? It's going to be what? Wisdom and understanding. This is the fruit you need to bring forth. So, to hear the elder and the apostle bring forth the word of God in spirit, is that what you need to have repentance granted unto you? Yes. That's why it's so important. That's why the counsel is so important. That's why the preaching is so important. That's why the spirit is so important. That's why you have to quit looking at them as men and images, but listen to the spirit from heaven that preaches the word to you by spirit. That's what you need to pay attention to. Don't get hung up on the image that you see. Well, you're just like me. You put your pants on and say, hey, never said I didn't. But that's not God. Oh, catch what I just said. That's not God. I'm not in the place of God. I speak through God. God speaks through me. That's how that works. Isn't it true? So it's not this. It's what's in this. Words I speak into thee are spirit and they are life. Right? Think about it. Where would you be if the elders, the apostles, had not preached the word to you to bring you to the point where you're at right now? Was life brought to you? So is God telling you he's going to grant you repentance as long as you follow his life? That's what he's saying. There's a kingdom waiting on you. What'd you say, Ernest? Only way. He said, walk in the light as I am in the... So you have to follow, don't you? And as you follow, he will lead you to repentance. Does that make sense? He's going to lead you right into it. Wow. Let me read you another one. I might want to make sure you got that thing about Israel and the Gentile. Israel had to be first. It was preached to Israel first. What John the Baptist did to Israel first. John the Baptist didn't go to any Gentiles. You see where I'm going with this? Even Jesus kind of, he went to the Samaritans. He said, I must needs go through Samaria, remember, to fulfill the prophecy. But he left it up to the apostles, really, to go to the Gentiles. And one in particular, Paul, right? Wow. Now, catch this, guys. We're talking about repentance, right? So did God use Peter from the rooftop to go with the Gentiles, to go to Cornelius, to open the door to the Gentiles? He did. He used the chief apostle, didn't he? Did Peter still have a problem later on down the line with Gentiles? So then what did God have to do? He had to bring him to this. That's a great example of something being held on to that you haven't quite given, a dead thing, you haven't quite given up yet, and he was an apostle. Wow. Are there things still being worked out in apostles too? Do you understand that just because you become an apostle doesn't mean you're going to immediately go into ascend? You see where I'm going with this? So you can become one, and then what happens is God may teach you some more, then send you in your sin. Is that true? Because God knows, doesn't he? He knows what you have need of. He knows what you lack. And he knows how to bring it forth so that you can have the full power of God and authority to go forth and do what he's told you to do. So who performeth the works? It's all by grace, isn't it? Isn't grace God performing the works? Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Everything he did was by the grace of God because God performed the work, right? That's why it's so bad for us to think we can perform the work of repentance. We can't. But we can do something. We can pay attention to that wisdom and understanding that's coming forth. pray in it, live in it, walk in it, and allow God to lead us to repentance. Isn't that true? So yeah, we're talking about a couple of different repentances here, aren't we? The way God repents, he's not repenting like a man. He's not a man that he should repent. But man, we sure have some thoughts of repentance that are wrong. We think that we can do it. How many of you ever said, I'm not going to do this anymore? A certain thing came to your mind and said, ooh, God show me this. I'm not going to do that no more. 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 Why are you saying it so often? Because you still keep doing it and you're saying you're not going to do it anymore. That's the key. You're trying to change and make the repentance. Why not let God change you and let the repentance come? Does that make sense? That's why I asked you that question, Gail. So how are you going to repent from that? The only thing you can do, let's get that wisdom and understanding. Let's get it. Let's get it. Let's walk in the Spirit. Let's walk as God's word says to walk. Let's be led by the Spirit of God, and God will lead you to repentance. What if I was to tell you that's one of the biggest distractions in our walk with God? Is us trying to do. Us trying to do. Us trying to do. It distracts us from what God's trying to do. Does that make sense? We get in the way is what I'm saying. So as we're distracted trying to change ourselves, God is saying, I can't do nothing. Oh, I'll wait until you quit that mess because you can't do it. So I'll just wait on you. Here we go. Long suffering, forbearance. He's waiting. Mercy of God. Waiting for you to stop the mess, your own works, so he can say, now, let me work. Now, let me work. You see how, is the work of God? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And how many of us still have, you just have to be honest. How many times do you still try to change yourself to stop doing certain things? This is why this message is coming forth. Stop. Number one, you can't do it. Number two, it's going to be defiled when you try to do it because it's going to have man's spirit and thought in it, and it's going to be defiled. So now you're going by a knowledge and a reasoning that's doing what? Distracting you from God, from the real purpose of what God's trying to do. Are there some dead things still working? Maybe not coming to full repentance yet. You see where I'm going with this? And what does God say? Oh, man, this is powerful. I was going to go somewhere else. Maybe somebody else got 1 Corinthians 4:5. Just read that. 1 Corinthians 4:5. If there's something left, do you think God's going to find it, shine a light on it, and manifest it? But what keeps him from doing that? If you keep messing with it, he can't do that. Does that make sense? You keep, so he's trying to do it, and here you are in the way. Yeah, I'm trying to, okay, here I am. You're in the way. Get out the way. And he said, now let me perform the work. You're in the way. So now read what it says.
All right, 1 Corinthians 4:5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God.
So who's going to make manifest the counsels of the heart? Who's going to manifest that light to bring those things forth? The hidden things of darkness. So whose work is it? So what are you doing in a way? Why? Huh? Yeah. You think you're a God. Is the man of sin sitting on the throne in your thoughts to cause you to be in the way? You're backing in the way, and God said, get out of the way so I can do this. It's your thoughts that are in the way. You need to repent of those thoughts. And how do you do it? You allow God to bring understanding to them so you can overcome them and they have no power over you anymore. That's it. That's the light shining and manifesting. Does that make sense? Whew. Repentance is a big thing, guys, and we've been thinking about it wrong. You got some dead things trailing behind you. You got a bunch taken care of in front, but there's still a few things hidden that you don't know about. And when I say that, you're not aware because you've hidden them for so long. You understand what I'm saying? Maybe religious thoughts. Maybe thoughts of lust. Maybe thoughts of offense. Maybe thoughts of pride. Maybe thoughts of lying. Maybe thoughts of uncleanness. Maybe thoughts of lasciviousness. Maybe thoughts of adultery. Maybe thoughts of fornication. Maybe thoughts of anything. But they're hidden deep, Ernest. They're deep. And the only one that's going to be able to pull them out and make you aware of them is that God that shines the light and manifests it. He will show you why it's there. Then he'll give you understanding over it. Then he will help you overcome it. Then you've come to a place of repentance. Does that make sense? Oh man, that makes sense. This is what God wants to do with us. Let me read this. I think I'm almost done. We've heard this over, 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 over again. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they shall all be all taught of God. Isn't that what I'm speaking of? Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. They all shall be taught of God. Taught about what? Repentance, baptism, remission of sins, Holy Ghost, power, authority, right? Angels, Jesus, apostles. You're going to be learning about all of that, aren't you? You're going to learn about the angelic realm, won't you? If you allow God to teach you. This is how this thing works, guys. It has to be from heaven into you. Not terrestrial into your own thought, coming up with your own answer. No. That's it. See, man does things like that, though, don't they? There was a guy that was bragging on TV not too long ago. I fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Okay, if you want to say that, he did the fast the way religion does it. You understand what I'm saying? And the scripture tells me when they do that, they fast for strife and debate. Go back and read it. 58th chapter of Isaiah. So all those 40 days is just so he can prove a point for strife and debate concerning things that he thinks he knows about God. Wow. Waste, huh? Big waste. To speak about things that he thinks he knows about God because I fasted for 40 days. He fasted for strife and debate. That's what he fasted for. Wow. Does that make sense? If you're going to be drawn, you're being drawn for a reason. You're being drawn to learn of him. Right? You're being drawn so you can be taught. Every man's going to be taught of God. Every thought in you, every child in you, every woman in you, every man in you, all of it's going to be taught of God. Right? I'm going to say this, even the Pharisee in you. Because if God can change that Pharisaic thought and do what? What is it that we say that God's doing? He's taking those thoughts and he's doing what? Regenerating them. You think about all those things that Paul said he counted as dung, right? Count all as dung in order to win Christ. All that knowledge he had and everything. Did God take that knowledge and do what? Regenerated it, and then you go read the book of Hebrews. He takes all the Jewish ceremonies, he takes everything, the priesthood and everything, and converts it all to Christ. Did God regenerate it? Yes. Is it still dung the way he knew it as man? See? Now it's been regenerated, and now he knows it as God knows it. Wow! Changed everything, didn't it? You think there was some repentance involved in that? You think? I know so. Because he couldn't get his kingdom without repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You don't get your kingdom until you repent. Wow. And we keep saying, you repent. You have to be willing to let God bring repentance to you. He has to show you. Remember what I said, those scribes and those Pharisees came out when John was baptizing, and he looked over at him. He said, what'd you come out here to see? A reed shaking in the wind? Can you imagine that? You know all those bulrushes and stuff we see along the Colorado River? And they just grow up there, and the wind blows them. They go like that. He said, it's not profitable or anything. Did you just come see those shake from the wind blowing? Is that what you came out here to see? Because you sure didn't come out here for the right reason. And then he says, this old generation of vipers, who warned you about the day to come? He knew what they were. Uh-huh. God let him know there's a bunch of snakes out here seeing what you're doing and trying to figure out how they're going to try and wreck it. Isn't that true? So what'd you come out here to see? A reed shaking in the wind? I'm much more than that. I'm the forerunner from he that's going to follow me, whose shoes I'm not even worthy to unlatch. I'm the forerunner. I'm the forerunner of the Messiah that is to come. Wow. I'm the preparer. Right? I'm the repairer of the breach. Isn't that right? Isn't he a prophet? Aren't the prophets the repairers of the breach? I'm a repairer of the breach, the wall that had spaces in it, and they were daubed with bad mortar. But I'm going to put some good mortar in there. You know what I'm putting in? The Word of God. It's going to hold it together. Whew. And he did, didn't he? And then one day there was a king that said his stepdaughter danced so well for him. He said, I'll give you up to half of my kingdom. And the mama told the daughter, ask for the head of John the Baptist. Whew. And have him bring it on a platter so that we know it's been done. They did that, didn't they? Cut his head off, put it on a platter, and brought it to him, presented it to him. But John had already said something. I must decrease so that he may. This is what has to happen with me. So he was beheaded. Was he beheaded in the kingdom of God? No. He was beheaded in the mind of that Herod, wasn't he? Did John continue to live as Elijah and continue to talk to the prophets and the apostles and so forth? Did he continue to do that? Didn't it say the law and the prophets were unto John? Whew. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You think that ended John's reign? Not at all. Men will do these things to you. They'll behead you. They'll beat you. They'll do everything. I'm talking about right here. But don't let it bother you, because God has already put you in prophecy and you finished it, and they don't even know that yet. They think they're stopping you. All they're doing is promoting you going to where you're supposed to go. This is amazing, guys. So Peter says this, we ought to obey God rather than man. Doesn't he say that? So we're going to beat you, beat on. We're going to do this to God and not to man. We don't regard man. So when they thoroughly had beaten them and told them to go and don't preach in that name anymore, they went right back to the marketplace and started doing what? Preaching Jesus. Wow. Do you think repentance is actively working in their life? Maybe, you think? Are you catching what I'm saying this morning? Very important. There's a God's repentance, sure enough, but you got to break it down to the one he does for man and the one he does of himself. And that mercy and grace that he has on those nations where he says, I repented of the evil I was going to do to you. Do you know there was a judgment that God could have done to you, but because of his forbearance and his love and his goodness, he says, oh, I'm holding up. Because I see something in them. I see. Whew. Read me one more scripture. Is it Romans 8, 26? 26 through 28? When you read that, we're done. Oh, yeah, you can read those real quick if you have them. Just read a couple of them. There you go, to Israel first, wasn't it? And then Acts 13:24, when John had first preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. Israel. It was about Israel first, guys. But isn't it neat to know that we're the spiritual Israel that's completed everything? We may have been a Gentile at one time, but now we've been grafted in, and now there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. You know what we are now? We're one in Christ Jesus, in the body of Christ. There's no separation anymore. Wow. And now read that last scripture, and I think we're done. Yeah.
All right. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought.
Now stop. If the Spirit is helping our infirmities, isn't that going to help us to understand what repentance is? Because we're weak in understanding what it is, but now it's going to help us because it makes the intercession. Now keep going.
But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered.
Right. Keep going.
And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God.
Now read the next one.
And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed
to the
image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren.
So he predestinated this thing, didn't it? He knows whether you're going to allow him to grant you repentance and bring you into repentance so that you can be that son. Isn't that true? If God knows all things, then he must know what your end's going to be. Let's allow God to bring us to repentance, okay? Hope you got something out of it.